For KNOM Profiles, I'm Clinton White. The U.S. Coast Guard cutter Healy is currently patrolling the waters of the Bering Sea and carrying over 50 scientists researching the effects of global climate change in the Arctic. The scientists are working through what is known as the Western Arctic Shelf Basins Interactions Program and will be collecting ocean floor sediments, sea ice, as well as oceanic organisms as part of their research during their three sailings on the ship this summer. Join us today for the first segment of a KNOM Profiles on the Western Arctic Shelf Basins Interactions Program as we hear from SBI researchers Jacqueline Grebmeyer and Lee Cooper.
My name is Jackie Grebmeyer. I'm a professor at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville, Tennessee, but I did my PhD work here at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. I'm a biological oceanographer and study particularly organisms that walrus and gray whales feed on in the mud.
And I'm Lee Cooper. I'm also at the University of Tennessee, and I'm married to the chief scientist. And I also am interested in what we call the benthos, the organisms in the sediments that are on the bottom. And because the water is so shallow up here, what gets down to the bottom and how fast that happens. And so some of that is more chemically oriented. So we do work on radioisotopes as well as stable isotopes and look at things in the water, too, in terms of water chemistry. So I'm probably more of a chemist than Jackie is. The project management office is at the University of Tennessee, but the way these things work is everybody from different organizations, institutes, wrote proposals to say this is the best science we think we could do, or this is what we ought to do. There was a call for proposals. There was a whole science planning process. People hold meetings and say, well, gee, we ought to be up in the Arctic studying how the biological system is going to operate. And so people held meetings for several years, wrote up a science plan. National Science Foundation bought into this whole process, prepared an announcement of opportunity, say, well, we really need to put a bunch of people on a ship and go up and do a good study, a comprehensive study, and then this was open to the whole United States, and for that matter, that we have some foreign researchers, too, that are involved with American investigators. There was a competition, and so the people that are on the ship were the ones that wrote the winning proposals, so to speak, and they're from institutions all over the United States. University of Miami has a big contingent, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, Scripps, University of Washington.
University of Alaska, Fairbanks.
That famous university.
Tennessee.
Tennessee on the banks
Tennessee River. But then there's also the University of Maryland, and there's
a
variety of
others. So there's a number of different.
University of Texas and Port Aransas.
And of course, Fairbanks is well represented, too. So the University of Alaska is involved. So we're interested in the biology. It's global change research in that the funds are designed to help the United States understand better what's happening in the Arctic in terms of biological changes. And so that's one of the focuses. All of the research groups that are getting on board have this as a long-term objective, is to try to understand how climate change or global warming might have an impact on biology and circulation in the Arctic.
And this is particularly of interest because, as we see out here, we got spring weather and the lack of your ice pulled out real early this year. But we were here in 2002 because when the ice changes, it influences how biology is set up and how the physics of the water and the influence of temperature. So when the ice changes, so does the dynamics for the ecology. And so we're seeing biological changes in populations that, for example, people in this area would be interested in the marine mammals, what the walruses or gray whales feed on, and the bowheads feed on zooplankton. And so we're here to look at how the system is set up, the ecosystem is set up, and then how it changes over the season from spring into fall. And we have moorings out there, which are instruments to measure while we're not out here. So they're measuring salinity, temperature, chlorophyll, which indicates phytoplankton, throughout the year. And so we'll pull those instruments out and then lay the process studies around a backbone of mooring information.
There are going to be 51 scientists on the ship in about 13 or 14 different research projects that have been funded, and everybody's got a different way of collecting the data that they're after. We have a device called a CTD, or a conductivity, a temperature depth bottle collection system that records salinity and temperature data electronically, sends that information back up to the ship. And there are also bottles that are triggered at different depths. We decide which depth we want to close these bottles, and they seal, and we bring the water to the surface, and then people collect it. So this is the first thing that happens at a station. Typically, we make optical measurements, too, to look at how far the light is going into the ocean.
Yeah, and people like measuring organic chlorophyll for plant content. But carbon is the currency that we use for this program. So we look at organic carbon, dissolved carbon, CO2, because that's important as a global change climate a parameter. We're looking at bacteria, a small micro zooplankton.
Natural tracers, things like radioisotopes that maybe come out of the sediments and tell us how long the water's been away in contact from the sediments if you're in real shallow water, or other isotopes tell you whether you've got sea ice melt in the water rather than river runoff, and to distinguish where the water masses came from and how they're mixing as the sea ice melts, what happens to that. We've got several people that are interested in sea ice specifically, so they're going out coring the ice, seeing how thick it is, seeing how much chlorophyll is in it or plankton are in it, ice plankton. They're bringing the cores back and then examining them real carefully to determine what the history of that sea ice is and how thick it is, where it might have come from based on the sediments and other things that might be in there.
And then we move on. This is kind of how we operate the ship. We go out and do the CTD first or the ice studies. We usually bring the ship alongside a big ice floe in which you could walk out on in the spring particularly. Then the ice party goes out and starts doing the ice coring sampling. We start running the CTD off the side. After the water column is brought up to deck and people are taking the water out of the bottles, we have people doing zooplankton collection. So these are the small plankton animals that various organisms, be it fish or larger zooplanktons or bowhead whales, are feeding on. They're out there doing collections on that. So we look at open and closing nets so we can see at which depth certain animals are living at. So they bring those back to the lab. They're doing growth studies, look at how many eggs are produced over a certain amount of time, and then they're doing measurements and species identification. We also have on the a separate measurement of a video plankton recorder that goes down. This is out of the group out of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, and they're doing measurements of what happens to particulate, where it's located. So it's actually a sensor-type instrument. Then we also have big volume water collections for radioisotopes, but looking at thousands of gallons and liters of water pumping through, and then you collect the particulates on filters, and they can do some process measurements from that. And then we get to where we do our studies, which are we put over cores and grabs to get mud and animals off the sediments. So some of the cores we're getting undisturbed water over sediments, so we can look at processes of carbon uptake, cycling CO2 release, nutrient release actually coming from the sediments after material falls down from the overlying water. And then we're also looking at the animals that are down there, so we do population studies. And then other people are doing longer cores to put that contemporary measurement into perspective of dating the cores, and because you can do measurements down core and say, oh, well, this productivity would have happened so many years ago by doing tracers and things like that.
So people have to work together, and the chief scientist is sort of
the ringleader.
it's a traffic control. It's okay. It's your turn. Get out there. Let's get this done. And because the ship costs a lot of money to use, and ship time is hard to come by, and so it's a very valuable opportunity for scientists to collect the data they want. And so we have to take turns and work things out, and we use the ship 24 hours a day. So
7 days a week.
So people get pretty tired by the end of the cruise, but it beats a 9-to-5 job. So
yeah.
we enjoy it. And we enjoy coming up to Nome, too. It's a nice place to come to.